Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Contrary to what we might deserve, there's no famine of God's word here today. In fact, our text is the parable of the sower, where God's word is scattered abroad abundantly and where there are various results of the sowing. A sower went out to sow his seed, and then we hear of the four types of soil, the results of that sowing. Two significant facts about this world's agriculture need to be noted. The first is that when a seed does take root and grow into a plant and mature and bear fruit, the plans and desires of the sower have been fulfilled. Secondly, when a seed does not take root or grow into a plant or mature or bear fruit, someone or something other than the sower and the seed is involved here. It could be the path, the birds, the shelf of shallow rock, the scorching sunlight. It could be the thorns that grow up with the plant and choke it. Whatever it is, it's not the sower or the seed that causes the resultant lack of plant and growth. Now, these two agricultural facts correspond closely to two spiritual facts, which we also do well to remember. Namely, number one, when a person has saving faith and does holy works from an honest and good heart, God's plans and desires are fulfilled, and the faith and the honest and good and noble heart are attributable to God alone. Number two, when a person does not have saving faith and lacks a noble and good heart and does not bear the fruit of good works, someone or something other than God and His Word is the cause of this. The person, in fact, is working in concert with Satan, the enemy of God, and either refuses to believe the Word when it is proclaimed and applied to him, refuses to believe it at all, or, having been brought to faith, he rejoices in the first instance and is filled with excitement and zeal, but then when a time of testing or temptation arises, he quickly forgets what God has done for him and in him and returns to unbelief and wickedness. Or the person, having been brought to faith, begins to grow and mature and then is tempted by the pleasures and the riches and the concerns of this life and turns his back on God again. And these correspond, as you note, to the seed that is sown on the path which the birds take away, to the seed sown on the shallow ground where it cannot put down roots and withers in the scorching sun, and to the seed sown in soil where thorns and thistles grow with it and encircle it and choke it to death. What type of soil, that is, what type of bad soil do you think we're tempted to be? God knows, of course. After all, His word is sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. Nothing is hidden from God, to whom we must give an account. God knows. But do we know? Well, it'd be easy to say we're tempted to be all three, and that certainly would be the truth. In fact, if it were left up to us, we would be all three as we saw fit. But what has happened in the past in our lives can give us a little perspective on this matter. I'd venture to say that very few of us would put ourselves willingly into that first group, the category of the path, that is, those who stubbornly and openly resist God and never believe, but instead openly belittle and neglect his promises of salvation, make fun of the gospel, laugh at those who believe it, and want nothing to do with God at all. Such have determined to face life on their own, and not even God's fruitful word will change their minds. Now, it's not that we couldn't or wouldn't be that way on our own, but our past history shows that we generally aren't, because God has come to us and has brought us to in Christ our Savior. We profess that faith together. We joyfully gather to sing his praises and hear his word. We want to be known as his people. Well, I would venture to guess that most of us wouldn't put ourselves into the second category of soil either. That is the rocky soil. Those who manifest excitement and zeal when by God's grace they are converted, but then become weary and faint. Perhaps the novelty is worn off. Maybe there are pressures and temptations from the world to abandon Christ and his blessings. Again, it's not that we couldn't or wouldn't be that way on our own, but what has happened in our lives generally leads us away from that category. We are here despite many pressures and temptations of the world to hear and study God's word and be a broadcaster of that seed also to others. And that brings us to the third category of bad soil. Unfortunately, and yet unarguably, that's where the parable gets to most of us. It refers to the seed that fell among thorns. And as we reflect on ourselves, according to God's law, we realize that too often we have given precedence to the cares of the world, feeling apprehension or distress in view of possible lasting evil that might come upon us at the hand of others or even at our own hand, anticipating that something will stand in the way of our relationship with God, failing to rely on God to take care of us in every situation. Too easily we're misled by the lure of wealth and pleasure, the deceptive notion that an abundance of money or things that money can buy, like clothing and food, health, education, home, shelter, entertainment, a feeling that this will satisfy all our needs, or we might be overcome by the lusts of the flesh, or by the idolatry of fame, or by the despair of loneliness. Moreover, our failure to trust God without interruption and our frequent trust in the things of this world, those betray an old self within us that would like to war against God at every opportunity. And whatever else we might be by nature, we're not good soil, and we can never make ourselves into such. We're sinners. We have earned sin's punishment of temporal death and eternal damnation. Nevertheless, despite our own unpromising natural condition, despite all the temptations and dangers hovering over us, God's fruitful word is sown, and it will not return to him void. The Son obeyed the Father's will and came to be our brother. He fought our enemies of sin and Satan as our holy and righteous substitute. He gave himself into death in caring for us and protecting us. He broke the barrier of death for us by smashing through it in his resurrection. As the risen and ascended Lord, the ruler of all things, he tended and nourished us as seedlings and young plants through his word and sacraments. He gave us his own life and strength. He watered us with the gracious water of baptism. He gave us to eat and drink of his own body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins in his holy meal. His fruitful word has seen us through the scorching heat of trials and the faith-choking cares and pleasures of this world. And so, because of him, we can live in hope, in patience and endurance, in mercy and in victory. For in Christ, we are good soil, and we bear much fruit. And we sow the seed, and God produces more good soil and more rich fruit. What does it mean? It means that of ourselves, we are and can be nothing other than bad soil. But by the gracious work of God in Christ, we are good soil, and we produce an abundant crop. Thanks to God. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.